Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I am Eddie Mayfield, your completely unqualified, undocumented host with the not only a poor voice for radio, but a great face for radio, and we're glad to have you here with us. Anytime I get around other business guys, small business people, and we start talking and we begin talking about things we don't like to do, one of the things that will always come up is health insurance. Most of us know nothing whatsoever about it, but yet it takes up a lot of our time. We're scared to death of a lot of the new regulations that are coming along that we don't understand and know nothing about, and really aren't qualified to make much of a change about. And honestly, for people like me, when I go to a hospital, I might as well be on a foreign planet because I know nothing that's going on there, feel totally out of control, and know nothing about it. Well, our guest today knows all about it. Our guest today is Dr. Hal Schurz. Dr. Schurz has been practicing medicine for over 23 years. He's been in private practice out in San Diego, California, and other places. He's been the chief of pediatric urology and a managing partner of the Georgia Pediatric Utility. The managing partner of Georgia Pediatric Urology. Doctor, I'm sorry if I messed up your whole introduction right there.
Oh, don't worry. I'm used to it.
Dr. Schurz actually founded a physician group called Docs for Patient Care that we're going to talk a little bit about today. And he's not only a practicing physician and the head of this organization, he's appeared on a number of nationally syndicated radio programs. He's had articles in the Wall Street Journal, and he's been on Fox News. Dr. Schurz, welcome to Driven to Business.
Eddie, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Doctor, every time I get around a doctor, I always want to ask them about something. I've got this pain in my back right now. I was wondering if you could take a look and...
Well, you know, I would love to, except that President Obama won't let me.
Oh, okay. I got it. Dr. Schurz, you founded an organization called Docs for Patient Care in 2009. Tell us about that.
Well, in 2009, Eddie, it was clear before the healthcare debates got started that President Obama had his eyes set on controlling everybody's health care. And those of us who were paying attention realized that it was going to be a nightmare, which it really has turned out to be. So I thought that if we could get the public educated and teach them about what was going on, that we would be able to stop this in its tracks. And the idea was actually correct. I was on the right track as far as that was concerned, because the public did rise up, and protest against this. That was the rise of the Tea Party, and they were very active in protesting healthcare. But as we all know, they didn't care that the public was against the government taking over healthcare, and the Congress decided in a very partisan way to ignore the wishes of the American public and go ahead and push health care through.
I think one of the most famous statements of that time that you probably know was made by at that time, the Speaker of the House, who said that we will pass this bill and then read it to find out what's in it, right? Which
Absolutely.
Is a startling statement, really.
And we're finding out every week something new that's very distasteful in this, and it's so bad that the people who pass this don't even want to participate in it. But Docs for Patient Care, when we started, was really an organization that was intended to educate the public and our patients. I had an article in the Wall Street Journal telling our patients, it was an open letter to patients, telling them how bad the Affordable Care Act was going to be for them. And every prediction that we made at the time has come to be true. We decided that we were going to try to form an organization nationally that was composed of physicians that would work to help the general public, our patients, because all of the organizations in medicine, the AMA, our state medical associations, our specialty societies, they really all abandoned the doctors and hence the patients. And so we felt that doctor patient care would be the voice for truth in medicine. And
I had read a couple of articles you've written about that, and I think it stands out to me. I don't think, Dr. Scherz, that many of us knew that. We always assumed that the AMA was, in fact, representing the best interest of doctors. But, you know, per you, that's not so.
It isn't. And it's because the AMA, just like so many other interests, is a special interest group. And they are making between $70 and $100 million a year as the caretakers for a medical coding system that the federal government allows them to operate. And so if the federal government is pushing a health care plan they want the imprimatur of the doctors behind it, so that the public believes that the doctors are for it, they go to the AMA and say to them, "We want your approval." And oh, by the way, how are you enjoying your monopoly over a medical coding system that every doctor and hospital and insurance company has to use?
Do you agree, Dr. Scherz, with the assertion that's often made that the U.S. healthcare presently is the best healthcare system in the world? Is that still a true statement?
I think it is, because when you really examine the quality of the healthcare that people in this country are receiving, it is without question the best, the most advanced care in the world. People are not traveling to Cuba, as Michael Moore would have you believe, are when they get sick. Certainly Michael Moore is not doing that. And people are coming from all over the world to the United States to get their health care. Out of the 10 most frequently encountered cancers, the survival for those cancers is the best in the United States for 7 out of 10 of those cancers. When you subtract out some of the other things that the liberals love to highlight as problems with our healthcare system, about the fact that Americans don't live as long as people in other countries. Well, if you take out traffic accidents and homicides, then the U.S. Longevity is just as long as it is in any other country in the world. And so, I, and the last thing is that the United States is a very heterogeneous country. There's people, it's a melting pot. Right. And so in these countries that have very long life spans for their citizens, those are usually homogeneous populations, people, you know, who haven't really moved around, and the constant populations. And that's not the case in the United States. We have to deal with this big melting pot. And I think that given all the constraints that we have in this country, I wouldn't want to go anywhere else to receive my health care.
You know, the primary argument for the Obamacare legislation was the number of uninsured, and I realize that in many ways is a red herring argument, because there are a lot of people that are uninsured that choose to be uninsured. I mean, young people that just don't see the point of having insurance, for instance.
Well, Eddie, that's true. That was one of the premises. There were two premises for Obamacare. One was that there were millions of people who were uninsured, and the other premise, if you'll remember, was that the costs in healthcare were out of control. And so those were the two reasons given for completely overhauling a system that worked well for 85% of the people in this country. Right. And in reality, what do we have now? Well, we'll have a system in place where businesses are dropping their employee coverage. They are redefining the definition of full-term employment, so that they don't have to cover their employees. They're firing people. They're not hiring. They're bringing their businesses offshore. Millions more people are actually going to be uninsured at the at the most conservative estimate, that number will still be 30 million people even after Obamacare takes effect. So it's failed miserably in its goal to insure more people. And the other goal of containing costs, well, we know that it certainly hasn't done that. It's exploded costs. The bill, when it was passed, had to come in under this magical number of $1 trillion. So if you remember, they were very proud that it was going to cost $975 million, according to the Congressional Budget Office. Well, quite soon after that, those budget estimates kept getting revised, and now we're up to $2.8 trillion.
That could not have been a surprise to you.
I mean, oh, gosh, no. And that's even before that's not including the health care exchanges, which are going to cost another $1 trillion, and all of the other add-ons. So this is going to be a law that's going to bust the bank of the United States, and it's going to cost everybody more money. It's already costing people more money in their health premiums, and it's costing people more money out of pocket because of increased responsibility on them for their health insurance.
Dr. Scherz, as a small business owner, and I don't think I'm uncommon in this, I mean, unusual, I should say, in this, and the guys that I talk to, most of us feel a moral obligation to provide health coverage for our full-time employees. I've always felt that way, and we do it, and continue to do it. But we've taken huge hits in the last couple of years in increases in those premiums, and this year particularly a very large hit. And we were basically told by our insurance broker that we could sort of call this the Obamacare premium. It's just what's kicking in to do it. And that's not even to mention we haven't had this happen to us yet, that's not to mention some of the moral issues that perhaps you could get into where people like me that do not want to pay for things like abortions and so forth, or pay for or provide insurance that pays for abortions, are having our arm twisted, or we are going to have our arm twisted to get involved with that. And I think that's the human side of this that just the federal government never paid any attention to.
No, I
have 1 minute, Doctor.
I agree 100%. And I think that we're finding is that I'm a small business owner myself,
right,
and we are providing insurance for our employees, and we have the same ethical dilemmas. And as physicians that are involved in this, it's even more difficult for us, and our employees are forced to take health plans that are providing them worse care, worse benefits, costing them more money, and it's all on Obama. And we tell that to our employees, that it's not us. This is what you get when you have the federal government telling you what kind of health care you're going to have and how much it's going to cost.
I agree 100%. You are listening to Driven to Business. Our guest today is Dr. Hal Scherz. We'll be back in a moment. We are streaming live on biz1190.com, podcasting on eddiemayfield.com. More to come. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I am your host, Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is Dr. Hal Scherz, and we're talking about health care here in America, and particularly talking about the changes in healthcare that are happening even as we speak here in America, as related particularly to small business. Doctor, before the break, you were telling me from the fact that you are also a small business man. You know, we don't often think of doctors that way. Many of us don't. But the fact is, whether you're running a for-profit medical practice or a not-for-profit medical practice, you're still operating under business principles, and the things that affect us as a small business at my business also affect you, don't they?
They do. And Eddie, you know, it's something that people don't really think about, that when you go to your doctor who's in private practice, it is a business. And our business is taking care of patients, providing the best health care that we can for them. And our business is always first and foremost, doing the very best that we can for our patients. Unfortunately, the burdens on the American physicians in private practice that have been put on us by the government, by insurance companies, and by other interests in healthcare, have made it so difficult for doctors to continue to remain in business that we're seeing doctors leave private practice. In 2008, for the very first time ever in American history, more doctors worked for hospitals than they did for themselves, and that number is actually increasing. So now in 2013, 65% of doctors around the country are working for hospitals, and the Affordable Care Act enables this to happen by relaxing the regulations on hospitals that would prevent antitrust issues and collusion, and they've relaxed them so that hospitals can go on buying sprees and put together what's called accountable care organizations, a complete boondoggle, which is like the old HMOs of the 1990s, except much, much worse. In order to drive business to the hospitals and away from private practice, healthcare is much more expensive in the hospital, and it is eventually going to squeeze out private practice so that it will no longer exist in this country on the path that we're on.
Dr. Scherz, I actually have some personal experience with that. I had a long time my primary care physician here for a number of years here in Atlanta, who retired, a great guy, and sold his practice to a young lady. And I stayed with her, and she was fantastic. I mean, really very good. In fact, I thought the doctor before her was good, but she brought in some new skills as far as what I would term customer service skills, and just really did a great job and had a great practice. But after a few years of this, she sent me an email telling me that she was getting out of medical practice. And I was kind of shocked, and I actually called her and I asked her, why in the world? You're great at this. Why are you getting out of practice? And what she said was a lot of things you've already alluded to here. She said that with the pressures that are put on her now, she said, you know, what I like doing is dealing with patients, working with patients, and working with a relatively small number of patients and giving them this first-rate care. And she said, the way we're set up now, that it's very hard to do that. So we're under a lot of pressure, and because of some of the Medicaid, Medicare payments, the way they work, is you just can't do this. I'm having to see a lot more patients. I'm not able to give them the care I want. The regulation and paperwork side has just become so intrusive that I don't like it. And she was getting out to go into research, actually, and that is such a shame that somebody that's as good as her essentially got forced out of the medical business.
Where to start? I mean, you've brought up so many points that I think the public is unaware of that's important. I think the big take home message is that as a society, as a country, we are in big trouble because government getting more intrusive and more involved in something that they should not be involved in is driving out the best and the brightest people out of medicine. Right now, there is a critical doctor shortage, and that shortage is fairly significant here in the state of Georgia. There are nationally, we are training 25,000 doctors a year, producing 25,000 new doctors, but 35,000 doctors are retiring, and that number is actually old data. That number is probably going to be higher when Obamacare fully hits. And so there's going to be a significant shortage of physicians in this country. And how that is going to be made up for is going to be by allowing non-physicians to perform as physicians and deliver medical care which they will be allowed to give without the same kind of training as doctors, and the public will be convinced, they'll be told that the level of care is as good as it is from doctors. And this is what we're seeing happen nationally. We're seeing it in the chain stores, the chain drug stores like CVS and Walgreens, with nurse practitioners that man them. And these people, they are supposedly supervised, but in reality, they are acting essentially independently, and it's happening in multiple aspects of healthcare throughout the system. And I'm not saying that these healthcare professionals aren't excellent. They are, but they're not doctors. And
right.
to say that they provide the same level of care is just not true. And that's what this law is pushing. And on the path we're on, I'm afraid we're going to see in our lifetime the practice of family medicine disappear as nurse practitioners encroach on that and take it over. And so that,
you know, I was thinking about there is an analogy in a way with a family farm, isn't there, where that these large corporate entities eventually took over family farms, and that's what you're describing, really, in the medicine, in the medical field. That's exactly what it is.
Well, it is. It's absolutely true. And I think what we're going to see is a move towards a two-tier medical system, because there's going to be a number of people in this country who are going to be unhappy with the quality of the care, the type of care that they experience in the government overseen system. And they're going to want more personal care. They're going to want better access to care. And so there are many doctors who are becoming cash physicians. There are many physicians who are going the concierge route, who are mostly internists or family medicine doctors, who charge anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 for a patient to participate in their practice and have really unlimited access to them and better customer service, so that they're not felt to be part of the patient mill, where they move in and out of the office in 5 minutes, often not being seen by a doctor.
You know, I try not to be cynical about the government, and I know a lot of people that work for the federal government and the state government on a lot of levels, and they're good people. There's not any knock. Somehow, as an an entity, when it gets together, I just think, you know, when you said the number two reason to drive to pass the Affordable Health Care Act was to drive down cost. It's just hard for me to imagine. I mean, people that have lived any length of time, no government project ever comes in under budget. No government project ever comes into the cost it's going to. I mean, we just know this. I mean, when they say a new road is going to cost X number of million dollars, we know it's going to cost more. I mean, we all know that.
That's right.
I don't know how anyone ever buys those kind of arguments. Doctor, it's a great discussion. Stick around. I'll be back in a moment. We are streaming live on biz1190.com. We are podcast on eddiemayfield.com. You're listening to Driven Bit to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. Back in a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is Dr. Hal Schertz, and we're talking about the medical field and how it affects all of us, including those of us that own or operate small businesses. Doctor, at the risk of running you off, one of my favorite jokes is Henny Youngman, one of my favorite comedians, the late Henny Youngman. He talked about that this guy goes to his doctor and he goes in the examining room, and the doctor tells him, take off all your clothes and stand in front of that window, face that window over there. And so the doctor's across the room kind of looking at him and, you know, stroking his chin, and the guy gets nervous and says, doctor, what is it? What's wrong? He says, oh, nothing. I'm just mad at my neighbor. So, yeah. Dr. Schertz, tell us about a little more about docs for patient care. How is it doing? Are you growing well?
Well, we are growing. It's a slow process, and honestly, the reason why we're not growing faster is because I believe that doctors right now are so disillusioned, and they feel beaten down by what's going on, that the hope that we had really provided or given to the doctors who are joining us, I think people are becoming more cynical as we move further along under Obamacare. And you know, it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. And so all of us who practice medicine see what's going on, and it's really sad to watch the profession that you've devoted your entire career to taken apart, get compromised the way it's been. But nonetheless, Docs for Patient Care is we have 14 chapters around the country. Our Georgia chapter is the largest chapter, and we initially really, once we became a national organization, we thought that we could influence behavior of healthcare policymakers in Washington, which may not actually be the right read. And I think it's just become so difficult to do things in Washington that we are now shifting our focus to the states. And I think that the states really is what it's all about, and most of us would agree that politics is local, and everything that we're seeing in healthcare really is local. Healthcare is local, and so we're using.
Well, Dr. Ford, give us the. I know I've got the website written down, but I'm afraid I'll have it written down wrong.
Sure.
Give us the website.
Our website is www.docs4patientcare.org. docs4patientcare.org. And so,
and by the way, that will be on Eddie. There will be a link to that on eddiemayfield.com. I'll also just tell everyone that as the show airs.
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, Eddie, this is, something that at the state level, we think we can have, a much greater impact on people, on patients, on doctors, and on the quality of the healthcare, because the issues that I think are important and that aren't federal issues on a federal level, but are on a state level, things like tort reform or insurance reform,
right,
or talking about just a business climate that's conducive to businesses expanding, in states that have policies that are favorable to businesses, states where there's low taxes, where there's more opportunity to as far as doctors are concerned, practice medicine without the restrictions of the state on them through restrictive laws. Like we have here in Georgia, certificate of need laws for opening up hospitals, for example. When you have a freer marketplace, you have doctors coming into those states. They're flocking to those states, and when doctors are coming to those states, then businesses are attracted to those states because there are enough people to take care of their employees. When you have states that in which the employees, which the citizens have a difficult time getting health care, where it takes a long time to get an appointment to see a new doctor, or have difficulty finding a specialist. Well, businesses who are thinking of relocating are going to think twice about going to those states. So we think that by explaining these issues to governors and to state officials in the different states where we have state chapters, that we can have the biggest impact on doctors, on patients, and on the growth of Docs for Patient Care.
Doctor, sure. I read two articles that you have posted on townhall.com, and both of them were somewhat startling. I'll just go with the first one. It was about deception in medicine, and what you say in there is that a new system coming along, the maintenance of certification, which is sort of an inside baseball thing for doctors, I know, but basically you guys go there and you're asked to go there and recertify. But what you say in here is that basically this is just a money-making scheme for the guys at the top of this pile.
Well, you're right, Eddie. It's inside baseball. But imagine if you had a cartel of businessmen who were telling you that you couldn't renew your business license unless you provided some documentation that you're doing certain business practices the way that they told you to do it, whether or not it really made sense or not.
Right.
And they were charging you an exorbitant amount of money to do so, to keep your business running. Well, that's just, you know, unconscionable, if not illegal. And that's exactly what's happening in medicine. So when a doctor becomes board certified, they train, they specialize, and they pass a test that will give them board certification. That board certification should stand for life. Now, in order to continue to maintain your state license, you have to demonstrate that you've continued to keep up, to keep current. And that's called continuing medical education. And there's a system in place for that. It's a very well-established one. Well, the medical boards that govern the different specialties all got together. There are 24 of these boards on a big board, the American Board of Medical Specialties, and they decided that they could generate money by pushing something called a maintenance of certification. So they created a new mechanism, a new test, and new hoops for people to jump through that would make them have to take a test that has no bearing on their practice necessarily, and that does not judge whether they've kept up or the quality of the care that they deliver. They have to do a number of other administrative tasks and spend anywhere from $200 to $2,000 every other year. And so what this has done, it's a cottage industry that's generated about $600 million for these medical boards annually. And what they're trying to do is tie your ability as a doctor to continue to practice by working with insurance companies and by hospitals, and twisting their arms, saying that unless your doctors have maintenance of certification, that that you need to take away their ability to practice or to participate in your healthcare plans.
Well, this certainly smells under any other type of business, this would be called corruption. I mean, it would be very clearly corrupt. I don't think the average business owner, and certainly not the average American or the average consumer of medical services, has any idea that this goes on. Again, this is kind of maddening to that you guys have to put up with that.
Yeah, it's one of the many things that we have to put up with, but it's the one that right now I think is getting the ire of most doctors, and this is now starting to really pick up steam, and you're going to hear much more about this in the next few years.
Well, that's probably a good thing. The other one that I had looked at was an article you wrote on Medicaid expansion. You have, a startling statement down in there, and I'd like to read it to you. It says that Medicaid patients have worse health outcomes and higher death rates than patients who have no health insurance coverage at all. That is a little frightening statement, actually.
Well, that's absolutely true, and there's several studies that support that statement that show that Medicaid patients do much worse in all measures of health care than people who use their emergency rooms and have no health care as their primary source of care. And the reason for this is because the patients who are on Medicaid have very difficult time finding doctors. The continuity of care is very poor, and the quality of the care is good care. The doctors who are delivering the care, you know, are the same doctors who are delivering care to people with insurance. But the to get Medicaid approval for many of the things that need to be done, whether it's testing or hospitalizations, often don't occur. People who are on Medicaid need to reapply for their benefits on a regular basis. And, you know, this is a population of people who are challenged to begin with. And when you start to put administrative hoops for them to jump through, they very often can't do that, and they don't have. Then they lose their coverage, and they get sicker and sicker. So it's the sad part of all of this is that this is the system. It's a system that is an abject failure. It's the worst health care in our country, and this is the foundation. This is the pillar on which President Obama's health care plan is relying to expand health care to those who don't have coverage.
And you know, one of the things about that is that more and more physicians are refusing to see Medicaid patients, which really goes counter against anything you would think about if you're trying to provide better health care, is that you basically force physicians not to see those patients because they can't afford to do it.
Well, wait until the next legislative session in Washington or two, and they're going to try to tie licensure with maintenance certification, and they're going to put it all together and wrap it up in a nice little package and make doctors take Medicare and Medicaid patients if they want to continue to keep their licenses.
Doctor, we'll talk a little more in a moment. Fascinating. You're listening to Driven to Business. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. Keep in mind, we are streaming live on biz1190.com. There will be a podcast of today's program on eddiemayfield.com. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on WAFS Business Radio, biz1190, right here in Atlanta. Our guest today is Dr. Hal Schurz. Dr. Schurz, when I was younger, I never went to the doctor, and if something hurt, I always just figured it would get well. And if I was sick, I would just take a aspirin or something and get over it. And I rarely ever went to the doctor, but somehow, as I began to get into my 50s, those things changed, and all of a sudden, things didn't get better. You know, they would get worse. And so I see doctors more now than I've ever seen them probably for the entire rest of my life. And we do have an aging population here in the United States. And so all of these things you're talking about are going to get worse, aren't they? Because we have, with an aging population, there is more stress put on the system.
Well, that's absolutely true, Eddie. And if people go to our website, www.docs4patientcare.org, you'll be able to see our prescription for health care reform, which is basically one of personal responsibility. And if people were to take on more personal responsibility, both in terms of their health care and how they pay for it, I think that the whole system would improve, not only the health care, but the financial health of the system as well. You know, there's without any restraints on spending, with third-party payer systems, there's no reason for people to not spend money and not utilize services. But if people were tied to the financial responsibility for the health care that they receive, even in a small part, but greater than what they currently have, I think this problem can be fixed.
You know, when I get back from my annual physical, my wife always says, well, what did he say? And I always tell her, oh, he said I was healthy as a horse. And she says, no, really, what did he say? I said, well, I could write the prescription before I get there. What he says is lose weight and exercise more. That's what he's going to tell me. I already know that when I get there. But in reality, you're exactly right. We, you know, a lot of our problems, health problems in the United States are problems of affluence. I was on a mission trip in Mali about a year ago, and when you're walking around in these rural villages in Mali, there are no fat people there.
That's true.
And that they have a lot of health problems, but obesity is not one of them. That's just something we have here in the United States that we have to deal with. Dr. Schurz, tell us a bit about yourself. How were you raised, and what made you decide to become a doctor?
Well, I, as you can maybe tell from my accent, I'm a Yankee.
I can tell that.
But I quickly.
But I was kind about it.
But I quickly saw the light, and I moved out of the North East to spend my entire professional career in Texas, in California, and I got out of California as quick as I could, and then I've been in Atlanta for the last 20 years.
So you're a born-again Southerner, actually, is
yes,
what you
sir.
Put it.
Yes, sir. And happy to be here. The way that I was raised was one of, again, what I've just said a moment ago, personal responsibility. I think that, you know, if we are, if we do the right thing and we try to take care of ourselves and look out for those around us, that everything will work out. But if we try to just be takers instead of givers, then that's when we start to see problems. And that's, I think, a big part of our problems today.
That applies to everything in life, doesn't it? Not just medicine. I mean, that,
yes.
that applies to your career, to everything about that. When did you decide to become a doctor?
Well, in high school, I knew that I was real good at math and science, and I was fortunate enough to have a mentor, which I think is so important for young people to have somebody who they look up to and who can help give them the guidance. And I had a personal family friend who was the chief of surgery at the Einstein Medical School in New York, who allowed me to do things that unfortunately young people can't do today because of all the restrictions that we have now in hospitals and medicine. What I did was I was able to go into the operating room as a college student and scrub in surgery with this gentleman and just really learn firsthand about medicine and taking care of people. And I saw what kind of doctor he was, which was an awesome doctor. And I realized that this is something that I could really love doing for the rest of my life, which I really do.
Dr. Schwartz, when I was a young man, my dad was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Shibuda, Mississippi. Yes, there is such a place, Shibuda, Mississippi. And there was a doctor in the town. His name was Dr. Hand. And in a small town like that, everyone knew everyone, and we knew the doctor. And he made house calls. And I can remember being sick a time or two, or some of my family would be, and he would, this little black bag, come to your house. This is sort of a bygone era almost nowadays. But you know, that I had a dog. My dog got hit by a car, and it broke his leg. And my buddy and I, unbeknownst to our parents, my buddy and I picked that dog up, and we went down to Dr. Hand's office because we could walk there. And we went into his waiting room. If you can imagine what his nurse and so forth thought. We come hauling a dog in there. But Dr. Hand put a cast on that dog's leg while we were sitting there. And I have such pleasant memories of that, of you know, a doctor not only being a doctor but being friendly to little boys in a neighborhood and being part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we lose a bit of that when we get to these large corporate organizations that are sort of faceless, and you don't know anybody there.
We really do. You know, the thing that gives me the most pleasure actually are taking care of people that I know, whether they're people who are in my circle of friends or family or people who I work with in the hospital and they come to see me. There's nothing that gives me more pleasure than taking care of those people. And that's what we're looking at losing, that ability for your doctor to have that personal relationship with you. And it really saddens me, and it saddens a good number of doctors that I talk to on a regular basis.
We have about 1 minute left. When you're not doing medicine, what do you enjoy doing? Are you a golfer, a fisher?
I love SEC football.
Ah, did you watch? I love that too. We were just talking about that coming in a little bit ago, having recently seen the Alabama and the A&M game, and it was one of the best football games I've ever seen.
I'm a avid sports fan and I've become a adopted Atlantan. I'm a big Braves fan and Falcons fan, and I love SEC football, Georgia football, and And I just, really enjoy just getting out and taking my dog for long walks and exercising and trying to stay healthy.
Well, I appreciate you being a guest. You've been a wonderful guest today. I appreciate so much you being here. I hope everyone will visit docsforpatientcare.org. It will be on the eddiemayfield.com website. Along with a link there, you can look at Dr. Scherz's organization. I encourage you to do that. Doctor, it's very interesting. We have a lot of business listeners. And as I said at the beginning of the show, every one of them are concerned about healthcare and what's coming. We're basically, most of us are really quite nervous about what's coming. And it's really gratifying to know that someone like you inside the profession is out there. And whether you realize this or not, you're really fighting for us. And I very much appreciate you doing that.
Well, I really do appreciate you having me on, Eddie. And if you want to have me back, we'll talk. We can focus on business, particularly on business alone and healthcare and what businesses can do and the impact on them.
Well, thank you for being here. You are listening. You have been listening, I should say, to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every week, and we'll be back again next week. Good day.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.